Chapter 73. It was the first snow of the winter. The snowfall was deeper inland than it was along the coast, but in Paradise there was enough to make watching it fall worth doing. Jen stood with Jesse at the French doors. It was late afternoon, but not quite yet dark. Over the harbor, the snow whirled in the conflicting air currents and disappeared into the asphalt-colored water. Most of the moorings were empty for the winter, but a few fishing boats still stood in the harbor, and the snow collected on their decks. The snowfall was thick enough so that Paradise Neck on the other side of the harbor was invisible. "What's in the bag?" Jesse said. "A care package from Daisy for supper," Jen said. "Amber brought it." Behind them, disinterested in snowfall on the water, Amber sat sideways in an armchair with her legs dangling over an arm and watched MTV. "What did you bring?" Jesse said to Amber.
"A bunch of stuff," Amber said. "I don't know."
"Gee," Jesse said, "that sounds delicious."
"Whatever,"
Amber said. Jen went to the bar and made two drinks and brought them back to the window. She handed one to Jesse.
"Oh, God," Amber said. "You two booze bags at it again?"
"We are," Jesse said. Jen went and sat on the footstool near Amber's chair.
"How is school, Amber?" Jen said.
"Sucks," Amber said.
"Don't you remember school, for Christ's sake? It sucks."
"Gee," Jen said, "I loved school."
"Sure," Amber said. "You probably did. You were probably the best-looking girl there, and popular as hell."
Jen nodded a small nod. "Well," she said, "there was that."
"You like school, Jesse?" Amber said.
"No," Jesse said. "To tell you the truth, I thought it sucked, too."
"See?" Amber said to Jen.
Jen nodded. "You want a Coke?" she said to Amber.
"Yeah, sure, if I can't have the good stuff," Amber said.
Jen got up and got Amber a Coke. Jesse continued to look out at the snow. Jen came back to stand beside him. Amber refocused on MTV.
"So much for motherly small talk with the kid," Jen said.
"Maybe it's a little soon," Jesse said, "for motherly."
"Too soon for me," Jen said, "or too soon for her?"
"You," Jesse said. "You seem a little avant-garde for motherly."
"I don't know if that's a compliment or not," Jen said.
"It's an observation," Jesse said.
"Wouldn't it be odd," Jen said, "if we put this together someday and we had children?"
"Yes," Jesse said. "That would be odd."
"But not bad odd," Jen said.
"No," Jesse said. "Not bad odd."
The early winter night had arrived. The only snow they could see now was that just past the French doors, illuminated by the light from the living room.
"I saw where Miriam Fiedler got divorced," Jen said.
"Yeah.
I thought that was going to be troublesome."
"Guess it wasn't," Jesse said.
Jen looked at him for a minute. "You have something to do with that?" she said.
"I talked with her husband," Jesse said. "He was pleasant enough."
"What did you say?"
"He and his boyfriend are opening a high-end restaurant on the coast of Maine, south of Portland. I suggested negative publicity about him spending all his wife's money on boyfriends, and this restaurant would not help business."
"God, Jesse," Jen said. "Sometimes I wonder which side of the law you're on."
"Me too," Jesse said.
"But it worked?"
"It worked," Jesse said.
"That the broad the cop suitcase was fucking?" Amber said from the armchair.
"Yes," Jesse said.
"You think he's still fucking her?"
"Probably," Jesse said.
"And you don't care?" Amber said.
"No," Jesse said.
"I think it's disgusting," Amber said.
"What I do care about, though," Jesse said, "is that they are people, and that this matters to them in some way, and they probably shouldn't be talked about like a couple of barnyard animals." Amber stared at him for a moment, and then shrugged and sank a little lower into the armchair.
"I was just asking," she said.
Jesse went to the bar and made himself another drink. He looked at Jen. She held up her half-full glass and shook her head. The doorbell rang. It was Molly, in uniform, with a heavy fur-collared jacket on. She had a folded newspaper in her hand.
"You seen the paper today?" she said when she came in.
"No delivery today," Jesse said. "Snow, I suppose." Molly handed it to him. She looked at Amber.
"Section 2," she said. "Below the fold."
Jesse turned to it. "Florida crime figure killed. Luis Francisco, the reputed boss of organized crime in South Florida, was found shot to death today in the parking lot of a Miami restaurant." Jesse read the story through without comment. A driver and a bodyguard had also been killed. Neither was named Romero. No arrests had been made. So far, police had no suspects. Jesse gave the paper to Jen and looked at Amber. Then he looked at Molly. She shrugged. Jesse nodded. He put his drink on the bar and walked over to Amber and sat on the hassock where Jen had sat. "Your father's dead," he said. She looked away from the television screen and stared for a time at Jesse. Then finally, she shrugged. "Sooner or later," she said. Jesse nodded. MTV cavorted on behind him. "Who killed him?" Amber said. "You're so sure he was killed?" Jesse said. "Yeah. How else is he gonna go? He ain't much older than you." Jesse nodded. "It bother you?" Jesse said. "That somebody killed him?" "No, he was a rotten bastard," Amber said. "Both of them were rotten bastards." "You're not alone," Jen said. "We will see that you're okay." Amber was annoyed. "I know that," she said. "And I got money, too." "Yes," Jesse said, "you do. And no one's going to come back and bother you now." Jesse grinned at her. "Except maybe me," Jesse said, "if you don't behave."
"I'm not scared of you," Amber said.
"No, why would you be?" Jesse said.
"So who shot him, it say?"
"It doesn't say." Molly looked at Jesse, and then at Amber, and then back at Jesse. "I think we can talk about this in front of Amber," Jesse said. "She's certainly an interested party."
"For Christ's sake," Amber said. "He was my old man, okay?"
Molly nodded. "You have a thought?" Molly said to Jesse. "Guy had a beef with Francisco," Jesse said. "Took out 2 bodyguards and the boss in a public parking lot in the middle of Miami and disappeared. We know anybody like that?"
"Crow?"
Molly said. "A sentimental favorite," Jen said, and then looked like she shouldn't have said it. Molly blushed. Jesse saw it. "Molly? And Crow?" He smiled to himself. "It's like being police chief in Peyton Place."
"I'd guess Crow," Jesse said. "Solved a lot of problems that way. He double-crossed Francisco twice. That meant Francisco would try to arrange Crow's death. Also frees up Amber here from fear of custody or kidnapping."
"You think that's why he did it?" Amber said.
Jesse looked thoughtfully at her for a moment.
"Yeah," he said, "I think so."
She smiled, for maybe the first time since Jesse had met her.
"Okay," Molly said. "Gotta go home. We're cooking supper in the fireplace. It's a family tradition. Every year, first snowfall, we cook supper in the fireplace."
"Hardy pioneers," Jesse said.
"You bet,"
Molly said, and turned up her collar and left. The three of them were quiet. Jesse walked over and put his arm around Jen. "Molly and Crow," he said. Jen looked up at him and winked. Jesse nodded. Jen lifted her face toward him, and Jesse kissed her.
"Jesus," Amber said. "Can you wait until I'm out of the room to start necking?"
"Guess not," Jesse said. "You want supper?"
"Yeah," she said. "Okay, if you people don't start doing it on the kitchen table."
"Promise," Jen said. Jesse picked up his drink, and they walked into the kitchen. Amber sat at the table while Jesse and Jen put out the food that Daisy had packed.
"God," Amber said. "Crow is so cool."
This is James Naughton. We hope you've enjoyed this unabridged production of Stranger in Paradise by Robert B. Parker. Stranger in Paradise was directed by David Rapkin, executive producer Dan Zitt. This program was recorded and edited at John Marshall Sound. Text copyright 2008 by Robert B. Parker. Production copyright 2008 Random House, Inc. All rights reserved.